Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Redmen TV and your latest edition of Transfer Insight. I'm delighted to say I'm joined once again for this one by David Lynch. David, how you doing, mate? You good?
Yeah, good. Thank you. It's a busy time for journalists, but it's quite exciting. So a lot going on. So that's good for us, really.
Yeah, a lot going on, is putting it mildly. And that's why we've hurriedly got you on today, because it's been a busy news day, as if the last week hasn't been chaotic enough. I remember quite serenely going through my week last week, and all of a sudden Dominic Szoboszlai comes out of nowhere and he's suddenly a Red. And that's where I want to start, actually, because you wrote a piece for this at Anfield earlier on, and it centres around the Szoboszlai stuff and why Liverpool opted to go for him, I guess, and pull the trigger on him ahead of Kefren Taram. So what's your understanding on that situation?
Yeah, so Liverpool were sort of, I think we've spoken about this before, sort of casting the net quite wide, weren't they, this summer, in terms of they wanted to make sure they got some midfield additions in, and knew that was really important to do that. And in doing the due diligence on that, sort of there were sort of several possible targets who they could have gone for. And this is a really good example of it. You know, Kefren Taram's a name he's been knocking about all summer. We know that there was contact with his representatives early in the summer. They were sounded out about what a deal would look like, both in terms of what Nice would expect and what the player would expect in terms of his salary. But then it went very quiet, and I think everyone suspected that was because of the under-21 Euros. Obviously transpired in the end that Liverpool's preference actually was to go for Szoboszlai. So that, you know, I know people are saying that they're kind of different players, and I accept that in terms of the way they play the game, but they are both really sort of that number eight style, you know, moving the ball forward in slightly different ways, but an attacking threat in a number eight position in midfield rather than sort of the pure holding midfielder or anything like that. So, you know, it looked like a sort of straight choice for Liverpool between those two once they got McAllister, and Szoboszlai was the one who sort of ticked all the boxes for them, and they knew that release clause was there as well, so that made it a clean deal. So that means that, yeah, Taram is no longer on the list. I think it's one that we all sort of thought would maybe progress after the Euros, as I said, but it's obviously Liverpool have gone down a different path now, so we won't be seeing Taram at Anfield this summer. But I think, you know, not too bad really when you look at what they've got so far, and there could be more to come as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I made up with the signing of Szoboszlai personally, but I wanted to ask you mentioned there, it does feel like because of the release clause, it's more of a straight line. You don't need to do the negotiating with Nice, and there was reports coming from France that Nice are going to hold out for more than the originally muted fee. So maybe Liverpool did just see it as a less complicated deal, like you say. But when do you think, because there was so much talk about Taram and indeed Manu Kone as well alongside it, Szoboszlai was never really a name on the radar at all. So when do you think Liverpool really got wind of this release clause? Because obviously we know they were negotiating the Fabio Carvalho stuff. Is it too simplistic to put two and two together with them?
I think it would have come up in those discussions, no doubt about it, but I think they'll have known about this release clause for a long time. We know the player's a Liverpool fan. I'm sure his agents will have been saying to Liverpool, you know, knocking on the door, they'll know that clause has been there. So I think Liverpool have known it for a while. I think one of the reasons we maybe not heard anything about it up until really close to it sort of happening probably owes much to the fact that, you know, with Taram, for example, Liverpool would have to sort of sound out Nice quite early, wouldn't they, and sort of lay the foundations for a deal, obviously talking on the player's side. Whereas when it is clean in that way, when you have that release clause, as you did with Szoboszlai, it's much easier to sort of sit back. And I think what Liverpool were doing in that situation as well was trying to take it to quite late in the day with the release clause to maybe put a little bit of pressure on Leipzig, see if they could maybe get that release clause paid in a different way if possible. In the end, they've obviously relented and done it on Leipzig's terms, but I think that's why it's been so quiet. There's been no need to go to Leipzig and tell them what your plan is, and therefore that reduces the chances of any leaks coming from anywhere. You know, the first we hear of it really probably comes from the agent side, and it's at the point at which a deal is basically done. So That sort of explains why it's been so quiet. So I think he was always the leading candidate as far as Liverpool were concerned. But they'd done their homework on Thuram just in case they couldn't make it happen. And as it happens, it's turned out with Szoboszlai coming to Anfield instead.
Yeah, 100%. And a really exciting move. I think one we should all be very optimistic about being a success. I've spoken to dozens of people, including Adam Bogdan, over the past few days about that man. He's very excited about the deal himself. So, yeah, and I think you're right. It's interesting that Liverpool did try a couple of times with Leipzig to sort of stagger the payments. And on both occasions, they were kind of turned down and said, no, it's in full or nothing. And Liverpool clearly felt compelled to get the deal across the line one way or another. So, yeah, very good news. You mentioned a second ago, David, there could be further incomings, perhaps even in the midfield department. And as well, in the article, you said that Liverpool are keeping tabs on Lavia. Now, this appears to be the next name again ahead of Thuram. You said the Thuram deal is very much off the card. So a firm move for the 19-year-old, are we awaiting that now?
Yeah, we're in sort of preliminary stages, I suppose, at the moment. You know, there's definitely been contact on the agent side again. Liverpool fully aware of what they need to do to get the deal done. I think Southampton are clearly going to try and hold out for that sort of top-end price if they can. But, you know, I think Liverpool and other clubs around it think they could maybe negotiate that down to something a little bit more acceptable. But, yeah, nothing quite firm yet. I just think what's happening quite clearly, I think, really, with Liverpool dropping out to Ram race, obviously, they like Szoboszlai on that in that number eight position. Is if there's a clear need for anything now in terms of the midfield, it's for a younger holding midfielder. I think he, you know, that's why Lavia looks such an obvious target for them from this point on. I mean, maybe we'll get hit with another surprise name out of nowhere who's got a release clause we don't know about. But I think Lavia, he just ticks so many boxes that I'd be surprised if Liverpool don't try and move on with this one. You know, in terms of, you know, wouldn't take up homegrown numbers initially because of his age and would be a homegrown player eventually. I think that's something that is going to be a consideration for Liverpool as they move on through this window. They do have to look after the homegrown thing, particularly some of the names who've been linked with exits. So, yeah, we're at preliminary phase, sorry. And so nothing firm, really. No sort of firm contact with Southampton or negotiations ongoing there. But Liverpool are aware of the player and obviously like him. And he looks a real, real possibility if they're going to go for a third midfielder, which it does look like they're going to go down that route now. And I think an exciting move because I think he's a young player with an awful lot of potential. Looks a really good fit. And there's a clear succession plan there for him to come into that Liverpool midfield.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And I think you mentioned the succession plan there. It would be sort of learning Fabinho for a little while before maybe taking that mantle. And you said there Southampton might hold out for the top end of that fee. What do you imagine that'll be? And also, you mentioned interest from other clubs. Are we looking sort of a direct shootout between ourselves, Chelsea and Arsenal for this one?
Yes, yeah, it's very much looking that way. I think Manchester City's need in that position isn't particularly great. And because they've got that 40 million buyback clause next summer, they would probably feel a little bit reluctant to pay anything above that. In terms of what Southampton are expecting, I think, you know, they will probably want something over that 40 million, because if they're to do the deal this summer, I think, you know, they're protected against that buyback clause now. So I'm sure they would love to do something just slightly over that just to make it worth the while. And in terms of the clubs that are in for him, yeah, I think Chelsea and Arsenal are the obvious ones. I think what's interesting about them, and it's kind of similar to Liverpool, actually, in terms of would probably need some outgoings to make this work. So, you know, on the Arsenal side, there's been interest in Thomas Partey. That would really open things up for them to sign a pure holding midfielder there, wouldn't it? For someone like Labia to come in. So maybe they would have to wait to resolve that situation before moving on. Chelsea, again, they're also looking at Caicedo, aren't they? They've got Enzo in there. You know, they've got options in midfield. So maybe they have to do a little bit of work to the midfield as well before they can justify doing the deal. So I think it would be helpful for Liverpool to move quickly on this because of the interest. Again, not a club who like to get into bidding wars, are they? And, you know, I think they kind of like some, you know, reassurances from the player's side really as well, that he would really like to come and play for Jurgen Klopp. So, you know, it's not one you can say is a guarantee that Liverpool are going to move for him, but there's clear, obvious interest there. They obviously really like him. So, you know, it's definitely one to keep an eye on going forward. Maybe one thing to consider from the Liverpool side is their outgoings in terms of, you know, do they need to open up a little bit of space? It's not necessarily, I think people think when you mention about that it's all because they're absolutely skins and they need to get some money in first. But I think it's more to do with now in terms of a little bit of a focus on outgoings is just to know exactly what the squad is going to look like, what you look like on the homegrown side of things, where the spaces are in terms of, do they need an extra midfielder? All those things have got to sort of come out in the wash a little bit. So it's a time at the moment that I get the sense from people I've spoken to for Liverpool to just take a step back for a few days and just reflect on what's going to happen next and what the squad's going to look like in a week's time. And then whether they can progress with something on, you know, maybe a Lavia or someone else.
Yeah, definitely. I want to talk about a potential outgoing in that midfield department in just a minute. But before I do, you've said about ticking boxes there. There's a conversation I had again last week with Michael Reid, funnily enough, about the homegrown quotas and that sort of thing. And Lavia makes an abundance of sense in that. And he might also allow us to do something in the defensive department that we couldn't do if we went and signed somebody who doesn't necessarily fill the same quotas. So just to finish on Lavia then, do you think, as things stand, he would be our most likely next sign? Obviously, Thuram's off the cards now. Do you think the way the land lies now, you said there, Liverpool might take stock a little bit and reassess the situation. But do you think in terms of who could possibly be coming in, Lavia's top of that list now?
Yeah, like I mean, like I said, I wouldn't like to rule out this random signing from nowhere. The release clause that we don't know anything about that's about to expire. You know, Liverpool are a very, very secretive club and they make fools of us all at times. So, you know, I wouldn't like to sort of say anything concrete like that. But for all the reasons you said, I just think he makes so much sense as the next midfield signing in terms of profile and everything and the homegrown thing. And that holding midfielder would probably be the ideal next move for them. So I would place him very high up that list. And they obviously clearly really like him for reasons that we can see whenever you see him kick a ball. I think he's you know, really has been outstanding for Southampton last season. So, yeah, I think he's very high up that list and maybe we'll see some movement on it in, you know, hopefully the next couple of weeks or so, because I think that competition being there sort of lights a fire under Liverpool a little bit. They know that they probably can't stand on the heels or get caught on the heels with this one. They've really got to sort of go for it. So as much as this is the time for taking stock, they're probably going to have to pull the trigger soon if they really, really do want to get it over the line.
Yeah, definitely. I did want to ask you on caveat to the Lavia stuff, and it's something I've seen a lot of people mention, and I too have sort of brought it up in conversations before, and it's Stefan Bajcetic, because so many people say the age range between them, I think Bajcetic is like a matter of months younger than Lavia. And he was so impressive last year that people are concerned, I think, that you'd sign someone in a similar profile that could almost stunt and halt the development of somebody so brilliant, I guess. But do we see Bajcetic as a six, I suppose, would be the place to start? And also, I know I spoke with Neil recently and he raised an injury concern still around Bajcetic heading into the new season. So are those the two factors that would mean we'd pull the trigger on Lavia anyway, perhaps?
I think they wouldn't want to think about transfers in terms of that injury concern is, you know, Neil's absolutely right to say that in terms, but I think that's kind of a short-term concern, okay, isn't it? I don't think it's going to be anything long-term. So I think, You know, I think the thinking will maybe come back to the fact that he was so impressive as that left-sided eight when he got thrown in there. Now, Klopp said at the time, I think, they were sort of, you know, yeah, hadn't really played there an awful lot. They just sort of wanted to try him in it. And he was absolutely brilliant. Looked just a really natural fit. Looked like a little bit of a Thiago air, really, didn't he? Which is, I know, is huge praise and putting a little bit of pressure on the lad. But I'm sure he won't be watching this, so it's okay. But yeah, I think it looks to me that they would see Lavia as someone who'd come in if, you know, I don't want to jump ahead on our agenda here, but you know, if Thiago were to leave. You move by Cetic then into a permanent fixture at that left-sided eight alongside Alexis McAllister. Then you've got Lavia coming in for the holding role, which he would then compete with or share the job really with Fabinho. Henderson is a utility player who can play all across that. You've got absolutely incredible options then in midfield. So yeah, I think by Cetic, flexibility will get him in there. And the fact that he's a quality young footballer. I don't worry about him getting minutes at all.
Hello, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that little part of my conversation with the brilliant David Lynch. If you want to hear what else we spoke about, head over to redmenplus.com and the full show is available for you now. And I'll let you into a little secret. If you head over there and use code Bobby and sign up as a club captain yearly subscriber, you will get that content for half price as well as all the other amazing content we've got. So get over there and get it done.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.